So I'm very happy that today we are, or I'm having a conversation with a colleague of mine, Gertrud Aber-Manza-Eliefa-Jijinyo of the Department of Archaeology and Heritage Studies at the University of Ghana. And I know that you are very engaged in the issue of restitution, but also heritage studies and the museum landscape in Ghana. So maybe you could just share with us some of your impressions of what your interest is at the moment.
Thank you very much, Stephanie. And it's nice speaking to you. I think basically I'm interested in museums and heritage studies. And I'm interested in the education aspect of it, how museums and cultural materials can empower people for them to have the pride in their identity and for them to also have knowledge in who they are, strengthen them and empower them in all aspects of life. Because your heritage constitutes the totality of you. It encompasses almost everything about you. So I'm interested in cultural materials. I'm an archaeologist as well. So I'm also interested in how people understand their past to be able to create a better future for themselves. And most importantly, knowing their identity and having pride in their identity.
Maybe for those of us who don't know Ghana so well, could you describe the museum landscape a bit?
Okay. In Ghana, we have a national museum, we have regional museums, and then we have university museums, as well as private museums and galleries as well. So we have a broader heritage landscape of different types of museums. The bigger one is the National Museum, and the museums come under the Ghana Museums and Monuments Board. There is a board that is in charge of the museums and heritage sector in Ghana. So every region, we now have 16 regions in Ghana, and then we have regional museums in not all the regions. We have about 5 regional museums in the major regional heads. Then we have the university museums in all the private universities, the public universities have the university museums. We have other community museums as well, palace museums. So when it comes to the cultural heritage aspect of museum landscape, we have a number of museums dotted all around the country that makes people to have an access to their heritage.
Okay, I want to make a hard sort of shift now to the Western museums.
Okay.
Because I read your article that you wrote about African objects in European museums. And what I found so interesting in your paper is that at various points you mention the fact that most of the Ghanaian objects in the Western museums are in storage. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, You don't elaborate on it, you just put it there as a fact, and I felt that there is a kind of, you want to say something. What does that mean to you, that most of the Ghanaian objects are not on display in Europe, but in the storage?
The reality of the fact is that a number of Ghanaian objects are now located in European museums. And most of them were taken away during the colonial era. And because of that, for some, there are no provenance on them, there are no records on them. But for certain, we have the histories that depict or clearly show that these materials were taken away from. But the truth of the matter is that in most exhibitions in these European museums, you do not find you can just find just a few of the collections. That does not mean that is the totality of the collections that you have from Ghanaian objects. The museum is having on Ghanaian objects, actually. So the point I was trying to make is that a number of these Ghanaian cultural objects can be found in private museums in European countries, in national museums in European countries, uncountable. Now, it's difficult to give the inventory, the total number of collections that we can find across Europe that are coming from Ghana. Because again, as I said, majority of them are also in private hands. So until that private collector or that individual comes up that I have this material in my possession, it's difficult to have them. But that does not rule out the fact that most of these materials are there. Why do I still insist that most of the materials are there? They are there because they cannot be found in our own museums. And these are past materials that showed the intellectual strength and ability, the artistic ability of our forefathers that we do not have. In that paper, I cited, for example, the Dallas Museum that mounted an exhibition in 2018 and was able to raise as much as about 250 Ghanaian collections. You can't offer that amount of collections in our Ghanaian museums. Just gold materials depicting various aspects of the culture of the people in one museum. So if one museum has that collection, you can just extrapolate and just make the calculation to find out what's actually the total numbers would be like. So that is why I made the point that majority of them can be found in those museums outside the country. So I think that the inability for Ghanaians to have access to these collections in their own country is because it's like we don't own our own collections now. They are not located in our country. They are not accessible to us. It's outside in European and to a large extent American countries. And then we also do not have the inventory of these materials. So the person that is storing the materials, the person keeping the materials now sort of owns the material. So for us to have access to it, I believe the first step is giving up the ownership of the collection, coming out right to say that, well, these collections do not belong to us, even though it is in our possession. And I must again say that it's not every collection in the European country that I can say that has been taken away illegally, because some were willingly given out. Those ones are clear. Some were rightfully purchased. Those ones are clear. But we are talking about those ones that were illegally taken out of the country. Ownership of those. So it all means that we have to go back into history and correct the errors that have been created. And then giving up ownership and now coming out to say that these collections, a total number of so-so and so collections from Ghana are in our possession. And we don't have even the provenance on these collections. They cannot be used so much in exhibition because interpretation becomes a problem since you do not have much information on them. So that when ownership is given up, then I think there is a level ground for us to start negotiations for their return. And I believe the ones that we will classify as not so clear, we cannot be clear on them if those ones are not out for us to know what the objects are. Because individual countries in Africa can clearly identify their cultural materials. Africans have a distinct way of making their materials. And individual African countries can clearly classify or identify their materials. So if they are still locked up in shelves and in lockers and in cases, then we'll continue to make the case or the argument that there is no provenance information on them. So bring them out. There should be an inventory, published inventory of these materials from Museum A, Museum B, Museum C in Europe do not have any provenance on them. And you see the number of African countries that will come up showing that, oh, this clearly is a Ghanaian object, this is a Malian object, this is a Zimbabwean object, this is a Moroccan object, or okay. So we know our materials based on the cultural affiliations that we have, and we know the sort of materials that our people were making. Mm. So I believe that still is not a very good grounds for us to continue to say that the research should come first. The research can be collaborative research. Then we know that we are making a headway. Because in the first place, it's been in their possession for many years and they still don't have any information on them. So if they say that they are now going to do the research, what research are they going to do on them? I believe you get me. So when you come up with a list of materials with the pictures, exact pictures of the materials, and let us see the materials, or even if there's going to be a forum, an opportunity where we can assemble these materials in a very organized manner for Africans to come and see. So descendants are still there who can help in identifying and even properly documenting. So European museums alone doing the research on the provenance of the objects, I think will still not yield much results. Because if that would have helped, then I believe they would have achieved that long ago. So you still need the collaboration for us to be able to help in identifying the research paradigms that should be followed in getting information on these objects.
Hmm. Yeah, well, the museums here, they say they didn't have the resources. That's what they say. That since I know some of the museums, I think that is not even an excuse. They are underfunded. Some funds need to be put up to be able to do that, I think. But this is also what you suggest the Ghanaian government does. And I found that also very interesting in your paper, because you don't talk about funds, but I'm sure you mean funding, that the Ghanaian government should provide funds to... you're talking about training museum staff, you're talking about curation, about national database, and about storage conditions. So do you see the Ghanaian government as acting according to what you have in mind?
I believe that, as I said, it's a matter of setting the agenda right. So if we are all asking for restitution of our objects, then the responsibility lies on both parties. It's not one party responsibility. In as much as we are asking European museums to give up ownership of these objects and return them, we also have a responsibility to make sure that we keep our objects. In the first place, they were kept here before they were taken away. So there were certain conditions that these objects were in before they were taken away. So once they are taken away and they are being returned, we also have a responsibility to make sure that when the objects are returned, they are also kept well for posterity to have access to these objects. Because I believe accessibility and ownership has been a key issue here. So if we need to own our objects, then after they have been returned, we do not also have to just be going back and say that, well, we need money, we need money. I believe it's our responsibility as well. The situatedness of the objects, the context in which the objects were taken, were totally destroyed as the objects were taken out. Some systems were collapsed as the objects were taken out. So if it has to come back, then it's a responsibility for the receiving country to also take up that responsibility of making sure that the right measures are in place. Again, I don't think it will also be too much burden for the museums or the European countries giving up the ownership to support in situating the objects where they were taken from. So it's a two-way responsibility, but I was calling on my government as well to also be responsible so that we don't shift blame only to one side. We should all take the responsibility for that. That is what I meant by that.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that you connected now the objects to the violent history and the wrongs done in the past. And I was wondering if you're talking about the restitution of the objects, what else? Shouldn't there be something more than just a very technical transfer of a material object from one place to another. I'm always thinking or wondering, and I have a speech of Achille Mbembe in mind when he said that it's too fast. We need the objects to remain in Europe so that Europeans are reminded of what happened in the past, of the kind of guilt. I think that's the word he used, the kind of guilt that these objects are connected to. So is there any, do you have any feelings on that or any ideas on that?
So the pain cannot be forgotten. The pain caused by this, the destruction caused by it, the separation of families, and all the negative aspects of it cannot be forgotten about it. But what I see is that in the midst of all the negativities, some of these cultural material, because lives have been lost that cannot be brought back to life. So those ones, we cannot do anything about them. But the materials are still there, and Europeans have benefited from these materials. Whether they've been exhibited or they have still been kept in storage, European museums have benefited from accumulation of those materials. For instance, when I will explain what I mean that they have benefited, the accumulation of materials in their storage alone gives them the pride that we own every material from every country in the world. The pride, the honor, and everything for these European museums having that pride that we own materials, cultural materials from every part of the world. Again, because of the storage of these materials, they get funding for the upkeep of the materials. Mm-hmm. They mount exhibitions and they get funds, people pay in, especially when it's a temporary exhibition. So apart from the negative aspect, apart from the pain the atrocities has brought to Africans, Europeans have benefited a lot from these materials. So I believe that if I call for them helping or assisting in resettling the objects back in their communities of origin, then I believe that my plea is in the right order. Because as I said, we shouldn't forget that descendants of those who have gone as a result of these atrocities are still alive. And some of them have to bear the stigma attached to some of these atrocities that were caused to them. So if the materials should come, then pacification, a way of pacifying it's taking place, then again, the return of the materials will now reopen new dialogue on the way forward, on a way to do away with the pain and see the way forward. But when it comes to documentation, I believe much has been documented. It's the actual objects, the cultural material aspects that we do not have much documentation on them. Or as the museums are saying, there is no provenance on them. But when it comes to the number of people that caused atrocities or number countries that caused this pain, we know that the reports are clear on that. So if now the museums are giving up or Ghanaian museums are now receiving, then there is a new conversation for the new generation to now know what really happened. Then that is when people are going to ask, oh, why are you sending all these objects back to Ghana? Why are you sending all these objects back? Then we correct even some of the histories. Because again, when we talk about the histories, we also know that there are certain misinterpretations in the histories as well. So if we want to set the agenda right, we should start everything right.
Yeah, so the material return is the starting point.
I believe it will generate a lot of conversations because one material can generate multiple conversations depending on how you use it. The same way we talk about interpretation. So one material alone can generate a lot of interpretations. So in reinterpreting, the same way that European museums would need information to reinterpret, in reinterpreting, we generate conversations around these objects.